Hello, Pastor Brandon here with our readings for Saturday, January 11th, 2020. We'll be reading from Psalm 9, 1 through 10, Genesis 12, 10 through 13, 18, and Matthew 5, 27 through 42. Let's turn to Psalm 9, 1 through 10. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my cause. You have set on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with righteousness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Genesis 12:10 to 13:8. Now, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman, beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? So I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had had. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now, Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord, and Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. In the direction of Zoar, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent and came to settle by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Matthew 5, verses 27 through 42. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual morality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. This is the word of the Lord in our readings for Saturday, January 11th, 2020. I really want to look at that last section of the Matthew passage today, the section that has the bold heading, retaliation. It starts at verse 38, and it goes to 42. And in particular, I want to look at one section, one verse of this one where it says, And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And we got to ask, what's that about? Jesus, why do you talk about going 1 mile to go 2 miles? Like, is someone asking someone to go on a run with them? That's not the case at all. And we can obviously know that, but there's a significance here. You see, it was Roman law for someone that was considered a non-Roman citizen, which the Jews would have been considered non-Roman citizens, even though they were within the Roman Empire, for a Roman soldier to hand his pack to a non-Roman citizen and make them walk 1 mile. They couldn't make them walk over 1 mile, but according to the law of the Roman Empire, they could make them walk 1 mile with their pack and then give it to another non-Roman citizen and make them walk it 1 mile. And this infuriated Jews because it made them feel like servants. It treated them like servants. They had to, by law. This was infuriating to the Jews. And here's Jesus saying, if someone asks you to walk 1 mile, in other words, if someone makes you walk 1 mile with them, carrying their pack, go the extra mile. Have you ever heard that phrase, to go the extra mile? It comes right here from the Bible. And what we need to understand is when Jesus says to go two, he's not just saying, okay, you're going to go the full mile, and you're going to look up to this Roman soldier, and you're going to say, I'll go another mile. No, you're going to say, I'm going to go as far as you need me to go. This was a radical teaching. This was a completely countercultural teaching. The Jews were taught to hate their Roman oppressors. They didn't like their Roman oppressors. And so when they got asked to carry this pack for just 1 mile, oh, it just infuriated them. And here is Jesus telling them to go the extra mile. What are the places in life that God's calling us to not just go one, but to go the extra mile? That, I think, is the question our readings today really beg us to ask. Where is the place where when we're asked to go 1 mile, we're called to go the extra mile, to not seek retaliation, to not seek retribution, but to go the extra mile? Today's prayer point for Saturday from our reading plan, and you can find the prayer points on the back of our reading plan or on our website, chogexeter.org. Today's prayer point is our witness as Christians. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill each and every one of us with boldness to take on the mantle of spreading the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And it's amazing how our prayer point is just lining up with what we just talked about from Matthew, this idea of going the extra mile. So let's pray for that right now. Lord, help us to witness those times and those moments in our lives where you're calling us to take the extra step, to go the extra mile, God. Because, Lord, we want to be good witnesses for you. We want to be proclaimers of you. We want our lives to demonstrate to others you. And, Lord, so in those instances where the world would say we should get restitution, we should get retaliation, we should get retribution, when those moments happen, Lord, help us to go the extra mile and set aside those things and walk in love and forgiveness for our enemies. Empower us with your Spirit, Lord, to do just this. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as it is Saturday, tomorrow is Sunday. We hope to see you with us, joining us as a family of families at 9:30 a.m. God bless.